3 o'clock hour. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The second night of a back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns.
Back-to-back? Who are they playing tonight?
Are you sure? You want to do this?
Yeah.
They're playing the San Antonio Spurs tonight.
And what does that mean for the Spurs?
Bad news for the Spurs!
Bad news for the Spurs!
87 losses now since you guys started doing that shtick?
You could easily fix it with bad news for the Suns. That's literally it. Yeah.
That's not the point. We want the Suns to win.
That wouldn't be as much fun, but
Suns fan.
I do believe we're now up to 87 losses in a year and a half since you and Jordan started doing that shtick. I'm just saying.
But in the end, the bad news Bears were good.
Yes, they were.
This is a bad news Bears reference. People are like, what is that? Like, what does that come from? It comes from the original bad news Bears.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a bit that you and Jordan have done for basically since the beginning of last year, season.
It doesn't work, but eventually the bad news Bears got good. They lost a lot of games early, and then they came on.
December 15th is approaching rapidly. Saturday, as a matter of fact, is the first day that NBA teams can trade players they signed as free agents in the offseason. And for some Suns fans, they may wonder if that's the day that Trevor Ariza becomes a former member of the Phoenix Suns. It might happen that fast. It might take them a little bit longer to sort through all the offers. You reported yesterday as many as 8 teams. Right, we're in contact with the Suns.
I think his lease only runs through December 15th. I think he, I'm teasing. but yeah, listen, there are at least 8 teams that have contacted the Phoenix Suns in regard to Trevor Ariza. And listen, I'm not surprised by this. I mean, I had a guy told me yesterday, you think the Suns can get a first-round pick for Dragan Bender? I'm like, dude, are you high? Are you serious? Like, are you smoking right now? Like, you can't get anything for Trevor, for Dragan Bender, but you, Trevor Ariza? He's a good player. Teams that are in contention are going to want him. He's long. He could defend. He could shoot. He could score. On a good team, he makes a lot of sense. On the Suns, he doesn't make any sense. But there are at least 8 teams that have contacted the Suns about Trevor Ariza. He will very likely get traded. May not be exactly on December 15th, but I think they'll be able to find a deal that makes sense for them.
One of the proposed ideas out there is a 3-team trade between the Suns, the Lakers, and, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers, a name that
we've come up a lot. Yeah.
We have talked about it a lot. And we talked about this yesterday. Suns should not and do not have any interest in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, probably the player who would leave the Lakers to allow Ariza to join it.
No.
There's no reason to have KCP here. We all agree that, especially with his expiring contract. If the Suns can parlay this deal into a point guard, that might be worth exploring. Unless that point guard is Markelle Fultz of the Philadelphia 76ers. That story continues to kind of circulate and be out there, especially with a possible 3-team trade with the Suns and the Lakers. Fultz, Suns, what have we found out about that?
It's not happening. They don't have any interest in Fultz. I continue to be shocked at the amount of stories that are out there right now. You know, Brandon Robinson, here in the third team in the potential Ariza-Lakers deal with the 76ers, currently being discussed. L.A. gives up KCP in a first-round pick. Phoenix gives up Ariza, and the Phillies give up Markelle Fultz and Shake Milton. And then in that scenario, the Suns will part ways with Ariza, and the 76ers will offer Fultz. It's the Suns don't have interest in Markelle Fultz. Okay, they don't have interest in him. I've been told this several different times by several different people. They don't want another reclamation project. They don't want another developmental guy. They want a player, like somebody who could play, not somebody who's got the yips and you don't know what's... Markelle Fultz is not a guy that they have interest in. So I don't want to... I know squashing the deal hurts because all these other teams that may want Ariza might look at that and say, oh, we got to offer something good because they're offering Fultz. He was the number one pick in the draft. No, nobody really wants Fultz. I mean, if Philadelphia could have traded him, I think they would have done it by now. He's got $9 million this year, $12 million next year, $21 million for a guy who can't shoot. Hasn't played in 2 years. Barely played in 2 years because he can't play. I'm going to continue to say this unless somebody proves me wrong. They're not interested in Markelle Fultz. That doesn't make sense to them.
Markelle Fultz's camp, and this is from Adrian Wojnarowski, about a week ago, it was revealed by Fultz's camp, Fultz's doctor, Fultz's agent, that the problems he had were physical. And Adrian Wojnarowski said that the Fultz's camp believes that diagnosis proves once and for all it's not a mental issue with Fultz, it's physical.
His agent
an attorney, Raymond Brothers, who pushed for him to go see this group of outside specialists over the last 10 days. He told me tonight that to him, this was confirmation that this was, you know, people, in his words, people were saying it was a mental problem, and it's not. And what Brother said to me is like, hey, you're the number one pick in the draft, maybe the best young player in the world, and all of a sudden you aren't able to consistently raise your arms to shoot a basketball, that something is physically wrong. And Brother says, now we have an answer to that problem.
That, to me, sounds like an agent who is trying to
absolutely
get his client traded. Oh, no, it's physical. He'll heal. He'll be fine.
You're buying time.
He'll feel better.
You're just buying time. I'm going to buy time. He's got a physical ailment, and now that buys me time. Because, hey, if there's nothing physical, like, okay, he can't shoot the ball. Like, he can't shoot. I mean, we've seen this in baseball with catchers like Mackie Sasser not being able to throw it back to the pitcher. Remember, Steve Sachs couldn't make the throw. Sometimes you just get the yips, you get the yips. I mean, I'm not buying this physical thing at all. From the people I spoke with, I'm not buying this. I think, honestly, that they are just trying to buy some time, trying to buy as much time as they can. Look, we're gonna blame this on an injury. You gotta get your head right. I mean, you gotta get your head right, which is why, you know, he's seeing an expert in, you know, physical therapy, and they're gonna work with him, and you know, all of this stuff. I wouldn't take a chance on Markelle Fultz. I know you don't have to give up a lot to get him. I get that, but man, the Suns needed somebody who could play. They need somebody who could play. They don't need another, you know, is this guy gonna work? Is he not gonna work? Did I have to develop him? I mean, it's the other thing too, you still gotta develop him.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's not a finished product. No, he's not ready to help anybody
he's
win.
He's a young player. He hasn't played a whole lot the last couple of years, so there's that's kind of working against him as well. I hope, it's my hope that the Suns can, and this is probably nothing more than a hope because it's probably not going to be as easy as I make it sound. We talked a lot about this yesterday. It's my hope that they can use Trevor Ariza as the disposable asset necessary to be able to get somebody at point guard, okay? Not Markelle Fultz. I'm with you. I don't want Markelle Fultz. But somebody at point guard that you can put out there with Devin Booker that allows Devin Booker to do
right. We
Booker
all still
things.
Want a point guard, right? Even though Melton and Okobo played good last night, if they bring in a point guard, one of those guys doesn't play. Okay, one of those guys is a G League player,
and that's fine.
So
we need all the development they get.
Right?
Yeah, we do. We know that's how it probably needs to be.
Yeah, one of those guys doesn't play. Split time developing.
I'm not even saying you need to use Ariza as the disposable asset to get you your long term point guard. Okay, just short term now. Somebody who can help out in the moment so you're not asking Devin Booker to be the point guard every time he's out there and he's healthy, so that you're not relying on kids to be your point guard basically every night. Or Jamal Crawford, who, let's be honest, when he's been hurt, and even when he's healthy, he's not much of a point guard. Trevor Ariza, in my mind, is the perfect disposable asset to go out and get you a short-term now answer at point guard. Not long-term. Not the guy who's going to be the point guard 5 years from now or the point guard of the future. Trevor Ariza is not going to be here 3 months from now. He might not be here 3 weeks from now. Use him to try to get the point guard to get you through the end of the season. It's probably not that simple, but that's what I'd love to see them do.
Well, Ariza's got no part of being the future. And here's the thing about why I don't want to give up the Milwaukee pick for some guy that I'm going to rent for 3 months. I don't know what that Milwaukee pick may end up being. It may end up being a good player. You just don't know. I mean, it's a lottery ticket, and sometimes those lottery tickets cash in. So I don't want to give up a pick for a rental player. There's too many rental players out there. But it was also hard to get a really good elite-level point guard. It's difficult.
The Arizona Cardinals are going to have a big decision about his future this offseason, but with Robert Kimdichie now on the injured reserve, how exactly do we judge him? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. There's a couple of issues about Robert Kimdichie that I think we need to talk about here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Number one, and I don't have an answer to this. I'm kind of curious to see if you have a guess as to the answer to this. Why Steve Wilks was being so secretive about Robert Kimdichie's injury yesterday. He did not want to get into it at all.
The details, he just, you know, he hurt his knee and we're going to have to place him on IR.
And that was it. Wouldn't say what kind of surgery. Wouldn't say whether it was reconstructive, wouldn't say whether it was arthroscopic. Now, the Cardinals did just send out a release in which they announced that they put him on the injured reserve. I don't know if they announced that he had surgery in that release or not. I'm looking for it right now. But as of yesterday, they were being very mysterious injuries. About what kind of surgery he needed.
Yeah, I think injuries. I think, you know, teams are always reluctant to give out injury information and things like that. He's done for the year. I'll try to see if I can dig it up and try to find out what's going on. But look, I mean, this guy's had a very disappointing career. You know, again, why they didn't want to just come out and say it is what it is. It's, you know, you never know.
But it's impactful. I mean, whichever one it is. If it's arthroscopic surgery,
sure,
that's a relatively simple deal. If it's reconstructive knee surgery, that's a very complex deal that will impact lots of decisions that will be made about Robert Kamdichi coming up this offseason when they kick around whether they pick up that fifth-year option or not.
I don't think they're picking up the fifth-year option either way. I mean, I would think that you're not picking up the fifth-year option no matter what, based on a lack of production and the fact that he can't stay healthy. I think the reconstructive knee surgery, it's okay, injury settlement, and that's it, because you're not playing next year. If it's arthroscopic, okay, you know, no injury settlement, get it fixed, get it right, and let's see what you can do next year to see if you can get your career going. So I think it's really simple. To me, I don't think they pick up the fifth-year option either way because of the lack of production and, just not available to play.
The availability, and that's the other tricky part about Robert Kamdichi here, and I got this off of Revenge of the Birds. Second to Chandler Jones in sacks this year for the Cardinals. Tied for second with Benson Mayoa in tackles for loss this year for the Cardinals with 9. Third on the team behind Chandler Jones and Benson Mayoa with 7 quarterback hits. And he's only played in about 46% of the snaps for the Cardinals this year. So in limited playing time, playing only about half the time, and already missing 3 games because of injuries, he has been, in terms of pressure on the quarterback at least, one of their most productive players this year. Second in sacks, tied for second in tackles for loss, third on the team in quarterback hits, in only about 46% of the time.
There's been times when he's played well. There are. But he's not available enough. He hasn't played in 50% of the snaps.
Right, and that's the key.
So you go in, so I think it's simple. I mean, if he's got to have reconstructive knee surgery, I mean, I think you come to an injury settlement, and that's it. You move on. If it's just arthroscopic, you give him next year, and you see what he could do. There's always, listen, just because you don't pick up the fifth-year option doesn't, I mean, sometimes you could still, like, keep the guy.
Sure.
You know, if you give him a better offer than somebody else does, you just decide, I'm not going to pay you $12 million or whatever it is, you know? Like the Cardinals picked up the fifth-year option on DJ Humphries. That doesn't mean I want to keep him long-term. It's just, I'm going to pick up this 1 year. We're going to give you one more year. Would they give Kamdichi one more year or not? I don't know. I mean, you're right. This year he's been more productive than he has in past years. He's had a couple of good games. Part of that is could be, I mean, outside of Chandler Jones, who the hell did they have this? I mean, Marcus Golden is, you know, coming off an injury from last year. He hasn't been as productive as you want. They're not getting anything out of their linebackers, right? Dayon's not playing. Hassan is trying to figure it all out. I mean, Bynes is gone for the year. Hodges is they don't have that second or third great guy to go get to the quarterback. So Kamdichi at times has done a pretty good job. But I'm telling you, anytime you hear the lack of gap control and the problems with gap control, it's usually Kamdichi.
They're usually talking about him. I guess the point that when I look at Kamdichi, it's always been a availability / production issue with Robert Kamdichi since he's been here, right? He's never available, and even when he is, he doesn't play all that well. It would seem in the time that he's been able to play so far this year, the production part of it, he's provided. Now, I'm not saying that alone is a reason to pick up his fifth-year option. It's not. And there's he's given you absolutely no reason. He's been, what, eligible? What was the stat in that story that you sent me today? Of the possible 48 games that he could have played in since he's been drafted, he will have only played in 27 of those 48. Okay? That's a straight-up availability issue. Non-negotiable. That's just a guy who's not available enough. But the one differing thing this year, and what makes it a little more difficult in trying to judge Robert Kamdichi this year, is that when he has been available, he has been productive.
Yeah,
this year, unlike years past, in which he hasn't really been productive when he's been available.
So they've said that he's had surgery.
I don't know. No, I don't know if they have. I just know they sent out a release saying that they put him on the IR.
Okay.
I don't know if they've announced that he's had the surgery or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I got somebody now saying, I'm not sure how bad it is, but yes, on the surgery. So I'll try to find out more on, you know, what's going to happen to him. But I would imagine, you know, that, you know, any type of surgery, you know, surgeries, I mean, could be, like you said, it could be a minor procedure on a surgery. It could be a major procedure on a surgery. But I think, you know, my gut feeling is I don't pick up that fifth year option because I don't trust you to stay healthy and I don't trust you to play enough. So I just, that's part of the reason why. But if it's arthroscopic, okay, I can give you one more year, come back one more year. I'm not going to pick, because he still has one more year before you have to pick up the fifth year. You can pick up the fifth year option now, but that's after next year's season.
Right.
Because next year would be his fourth season.
But you have to pick it up by May. I think it's the last week of May that you have to decide you're going to pick up the fifth year option.
Right.
So you have to pick up the fifth year before he even starts the fourth year, you know?
Yes.
That's the decision you have to make. Steve Wilks was asked how he would judge Robert Kamdichie's season.
Last couple of weeks, I thought he played well. You know, he had that that lull when he was hurt. He was out for a while. I thought he came back and had a great game against the Chargers. You know, again, just inconsistent just because he hasn't been on the field.
Steve Keim on November 30th about Robert Kamdichie.
I mean, it encourages you because you think to yourself, you know, man, I mean, you draft a guy that high and you're constantly waiting. But there are a number of guys that sometimes take a little bit longer. I mean, Kareem Martin was a great example of a guy that, you know, we drafted in the third round and, you know, it took him 3 or 4 years to really get going, aside from being a good special teamer and, you know, got a nice contract in free agency with the Giants. I mean, you never want to see that as a general manager. You want to have guys come in and have instant success, but it's just the way the game is. And unfortunately, some guys get a little bit long, take a little bit longer to get going.
Now, if he hadn't gotten hurt and he was able to finish this year as strongly as he was playing it when he was available, I do wonder if he would have given them something to think about with that fifth year option. He was putting up decent numbers for them.
Sure. Yeah, and, I mean, and, you want your first round. Nobody wants to, like, not pick up the fifth-year option on their first-round picks. Like, you want them to work out. I mean, because, like, you know, you ultimately you get judged by that. So everybody in that organization wants him to do well to where we like him enough to pick up the fifth-year option. But you also, it's a business, and if he's not the right guy for your team, then he's not the right guy. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, you know, there was some production there, but is it enough? Is it enough to pick up the fifth-year option?
Well, not this year, it's not. It's at this point, and again, we won't know for sure until we know what type of surgery that he's had. At this point, I'd be shocked if they picked up the fifth-year option. Just shocked. But I guess the whole point is that for all this time we've spent wondering when Robert Kamdichie was going to start to perform, wondering when he was going to start to play up to his capability, this is the year where it started to happen.
Yeah.
This is the year where we started to see that development out of him.
I'm going to say this. It's doubtful that they would pick up the fifth-year option on Robert Kamdichie. I'll say that now on December, whatever today is. Doubtful that they would pick up that fifth-year option. So if we're making wagers right now, put your money on the fact that they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option on Robert Kamdichie. Now, whether that's because of the surgery or lack of production, it might be just a combination of everything with him. So very doubtful that they will pick up the fifth-year option on Robert Kamdichie.
Ever since he has stepped on ASU's campus, Herm Edwards is full of passion, full of energy. And apparently, he feels the same way about desserts as well. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Who is this?
Khalees. Yes, it's like her one song,
I was actually thinking about it. I couldn't remember who sang it or what the name of it was. The milkshake song.
I'll tell you what.
Your milkshake.
Sarah is, yeah. She comes in here. She's very professional.
Your milkshake.
She does her updates. She's very committed to the cause. But man,
committed to the cause.
Jordan played this song, and it was like she was clubbing in Scottsdale or something. You turned into this totally different person there just a second ago. Like, wow, wow, Sarah.
Hey, I'm sorry. Can you blame me?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's just you heard this song and you turned into a completely different person.
This is not on Spotify and it's never going to be on Spotify.
Milkshake. Milkshake.
Milkshake brings the boys to the yard.
Well, the milkshakes made
a good milkshake.
Made the six ASU buses stop today in Kingman, Arizona on their way to Vegas. Herm Edwards yesterday said, yeah, we're getting on the bus, going to Vegas, get ready to play our bowl game, but I can't give you the details.
Can't tell you. Secret. And I can't mention the places because then they'll say, well, yours, you know, it's not good. We're gonna get a hamburger somewhere. I can't mention the place, obviously. We're gonna get a milkshake somewhere. I can't mention that place. I'm really excited about the milkshake, to be quite honest.
The milkshake, Coach?
Oh, the milkshake. Yeah. That's all I'm thinking about. I know exactly what kind I'm getting to. I'm not telling anybody. The player's been asking, so you don't need to know. They get three. They get strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate. Nah. I got a special one coming. They're going to want the one I have, but I'm not telling them yet. I'm just kind of waiting.
Multi-flavored?
Oh, you know, it's just, I mean, it's, come on. I mean, I could almost taste it. I said, the bus can't get there fast enough.
For God's sake, Herb, if you want a milkshake so badly,
stop.
Go get a milkshake.
Exactly.
I mean, my God, it's not like Kingman, Arizona has a monopoly on milkshakes.
I didn't know Kingman was famous for milkshakes.
The only place in America you can get a milkshake is Kingman, Arizona. You can go right down the street and get one, Herb. I promise you.
They're all over the place.
There's somewhere near the campus of Arizona State, near your job, where you can go get a milkshake if you want. I promise.
I will tell you, you can't get a strawberry fribble out here anywhere.
I still don't know. Is that basically a shake?
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you a picture of a strawberry fribble. You're going
to
love it.
So they took the buses up to Vegas today, which strikes some people as odd. Not me. I mean, that's fine. I get it. It's only like a 4.5-hour drive, and it's a pretty easy drive these days. It looks like a milkshake.
Yeah,
it looks like a milkshake.
It's a fribble.
It's fribble, but it looks like a milkshake.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And Herm yesterday made a big deal about stopping in Kingman. They stopped at Five Guys, by the way, to get their burgers. And his special shake was a mint chocolate chip shake. All the other guys,
sounds
strawberry,
disgusting. I would never get that shake.
Really?
I don't like mint chocolate chip.
Oh,
yeah.
It does sound good. It does not sound bad
at
all.
I'm plain. I'm just, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry.
The game is coming up on Saturday. I just looked the point spread up just a second ago. Fresno State, 4.5-point favorites over ASU. And what is going to be Manny Wilkins' last game as a member of the Sun Devils?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. He's been a good Sun Devil. I have a lot of respect for Manny. He's been a very good player. Good player for the Sun Devil program. He really has. No N'Keal Harry in this game. We've talked a lot about that he's not going to play in this game, which I'm okay with. We've talked about the practices that they're not going to get as many practices in that they wanted to because the game is so early. It's tough having that early ball game because, you take your mind off of college football for a little bit, and then right after Christmas, after the holidays are over, then you're, okay, now let's start looking. What do we got coming up on New Year's Day? What do we got coming up on, those games, the New Year's six games that we're all excited to watch because they're usually really good matchup and good bowl games with implication. Those teams play to win. They play hard. This one, I mean, the relevance on this game is, just getting the younger players experience. I mean, that's what it is. The win, you'd like to win the game. We all know the Pac-12 won one bowl game last year. Was it one?
They won
one bowl game last year. They won 1-8. You'd hope that the conference does a little bit better than that because they're a laughing stock. The Pac-12 is a laughing stock right now. They are. They're not looked upon very highly. I mean, one of the AD, the AD for Washington State went off a couple of weeks ago when he saw the rankings, and how badly they were ranked. And, all these teams that were three losses ranked way ahead of them, and he just couldn't understand it. Well, part of it is the Pac-12 just, they can't get a team into a championship game. They can't get a team into the playoffs right now for the last few years. They're losing these bowl games. Every big matchup that they have outside of the conference, they seem to lose. So the Pac-12, it would be nice to make a statement overall for the conference for everybody. But that people don't think like that. Hey, we all got to go out there and play as hard as we can to win. It's not the focus. You want to win the game, but there's more important things like, developing your players, and for like a guy like N'Keal Harry, making sure I don't get hurt, so I'm not going
to
play.
Yeah, I mean, bowl games are a funny lot. You almost have to try to figure out who's more motivated to play, right? I mean, it doesn't really come down necessarily to who's the better football team. It seems to be much more about who wants to be there more.
Right.
Does Fresno State, which is one win away from their 12th win of the season, do they want to win more than ASU does, which may or may not be going through the motions on a bowl game that they may or may not be disappointed to be in, right? I mean, those are more than anything else, maybe in sports, these weird kind of emotions play into these bowl games. Sometimes teams show up at these bowl games and they just don't care because they feel like they got gypped, right? They feel like, oh no, man, we had a much better season than that. We're supposed to be in El Paso right now, or we're supposed to be in San Antonio right now, or San Diego right now.
Going into the Oregon game, they were thinking Pac-12 championship.
Right,
game. Exactly.
And they feel like they got kind of screwed, by some of it by their own doing, but some of it because other teams got selected. Coach said yesterday that sophomore quarterback Dylan Sterling Cole could play in this game. They would like to get
him.
That
just goes to show you that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not about winning the game is not of the utmost importance. Dealing Sterling Cole is a guy that is going to be considered to be the starting quarterback next year, along with a couple of top recruits that they've got coming in. So he's been here for 3 years. He knows the system. They would probably like to get him some time. Now, you want to give Manny every opportunity to go out there and win the game in his last game and, you know, show respect to him for everything he's meant to the Sun Devil football program. But then you're also trying to think one step ahead. Can I get Dealing Sterling Cole a couple of series? Can I get him some experience? Can I see him? You want to see him too. Let's get some film on Dealing Sterling Cole over a couple of series. Let's see some throws. Let's see, because, you know, you've got to make a determination if he's the guy for you next year, or you're going to go with one of these great young recruits that they've got. And they've got two dynamic quarterbacks coming in, and they're in the market for maybe a third one. I mean, the next kid that hasn't, you know, signed that Jayden, is the highest regarded is
Jayden Daniels. And he's expected to announce Thursday, where he's going to go. Right now, the early signing day starts on December 19th. ASU has 20 known commitments. According to AZ Central, their class right now is ranked 35th nationally, 5th in the Pac-12, according to 247 Sports. So kind of middle of the road in the conference. Upper third in the nation. Herm Edwards talked a lot yesterday about talent and how he much prefers talent over experience.
I'm going to take talent over experience because I know in a month, the talented guy, now he's got experience. He's going to be a better player. So that's what you got to do. You got to suffer through it all. Okay? Rashari. Like, oh. Yep. After every game, I'd hug him. I'll be okay. You're going to be fine. And then all of a sudden at the end, he ended up being a pretty good player. Okay? And it's just Merle and all those guys.
And he's had no problem this year. What is he at? 6 true or redshirt freshmen who have played for him on defense this season? Right?
Yeah.
He has no problem with, in his mind, I'm going to take the talented guy over the experienced guy. If the talented guy's better, I don't care that he doesn't have experience. I'm going to go with that guy. 6 true or redshirt freshman played for him on defense just season. It might be more the same next year with some of these recruits coming in. Wouldn't surprise me at all, especially some of these positions.
With the wide receiver class that they have, with Brandon Ayuk and Frank Darby and Kyle Williams back, and then this Jordan Porter kid who's fantastic. And I mean, there's a lot of Ricky Pearsall, the Coronel Del Sol kid. Like, there's a lot of good players that they have. They got to get the quarterback right. I mean, Dealing Sterling Cole been here for 3 years. They're going to sign. They got the two guys that they're signing, the Joey Yellen kid from L.A. Mission Viejo, who they beat Georgia to get him, and then the Ethan Long kid out of Eugene, Oregon, who a lot of people say he's like a Tim Tebow type. And, you know, you mentioned Jayden Daniels. He's the highest rated non-committed quarterback right now. There's been a lot of good teams in on him. So if they could have a fantastic quarterback class. Now, if they don't get Jayden Daniels, there's some rumors of a grad transfer coming in too. So there could be some competition. That's why I do think it's imperative that they see a little bit of Dealing Sterling Cole in this game.
Yeah, they did change the offense a little bit this year. Herm Edwards said he gave his input to Rob Likens on what the offense should look like.
My input was very simple. It was after the San Diego State game, I said, look, we got to be more efficient running the football. And coach got it. And it went on.
So how did Rob Likens handle that?
He said, coach, I was at what school he was at. He was at some little school. They led the nation. They ran the option or something, right? He said, coach, I've run the ball before. I said, that's good. So we're going to run some more now. But he understood it. He knew why. Because there was a couple reasons for it. I thought it would help settle us down. It would protect our defense early. Because our defense was young, you know, it was a brand new defense. And I said, look, we got to take time off this clock. We got to run the ball just to keep our defense off the field. And it became all of a sudden, Eno shows up. And then all of a sudden, you're excited about running the ball with that guy.
And that was where we had some debates on, you know, I understood what they were doing, how running the football and how important it was to them. And, you know, you were like, well, you need to get N'Keal Harry involved. I mean, to win and get where you want to go, you've got the best wide receiver in the country. I mean, you got to get him the ball. So is there a happy medium in there to get Eno Benjamin to carries? I mean, Eno Benjamin's been one of the best backs that's ever played for ASU. He's fantastic.
Don't you think they found that happy medium?
I think they did.
In the last 4 or 5 games of the season?
There were definitely some games that where both guys played extremely well and they were able to get both guys the ball.
I mean, N'Keal Harry almost single-handedly won the USC game for him.
Yeah.
With the plays that he put up. But, you know, Benjamin did his thing. I think they found that balance as the year went on. There's no doubt. It's Ticket Window Tuesday. It's brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of two-day passes to the Innings Festival coming to Tempe Beach Park on March 2nd and 3rd. The festival features Eddie Vedder, Incubus, local band Jimmy Eat World, and many, many more. Listen at 4:15 this afternoon for your chance to win. Forget about the trade rumors and the speculation. What are the Diamondbacks going to do with some key positional vacancies? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Lots going on with baseball winter meetings, literally as we speak. Jerry Krasnick, longtime baseball writer. Apparently Joe Maddon is having a press conference right now up in Vegas at the baseball winter meetings. Maddon on the St. Louis Cardinals adding Paul Goldschmidt, quote, "I don't like the Diamondbacks right now at all."
Oh, I don't blame them. Cardinals got themselves Paul Goldschmidt. That's going to make things very difficult. And he, you know, listen, one of the things, I mean, we didn't get into this, but man, a lot of people in those St. Louis papers were just talking about how well he torches the Central Division. I mean, how his numbers are so good against the Pirates and the Brewers and the Cubs. And I mean, that was one of the things that they really kind of broke down was, man, his numbers against those teams are so good.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things kind of coming out of the winter meeting. Some of them coming out now, some of them kind of coming out last night. I want to focus on the stuff that's coming down now because it's literally two interesting things that Torrey Lovello is sort of revealing in his conversation that he had with the media at the winter meetings earlier today. Steve Gilbert, our friend over at MLB.com, said that in his meeting at his house, Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello said that Paul Goldschmidt expressed regret he didn't win a World Series in Arizona and he left unfinished business. Lovello said he reassured him that he did all he could. Gilbert then responding to somebody on Twitter, "Did I hear right that Torrey asked Hazen to reconsider the trade multiple times?" Steve Gilbert, "Yes. Earlier in the process, Torrey Lovello asked Mike Hazen to reconsider trading Paul Goldschmidt multiple times."
I'm not surprised.
According to this tweet that I have in front of me.
Because Torrey wants to win baseball games.
The D-backs beat writer from MLB.com. Yeah,
of course, he wants to win baseball games.
Yeah, but I mean, usually those two are kind of in step with each other, right?
But I mean, trading Paul Goldschmidt is a direct correlation to the amount of losses that Torrey Lovello is going to have as the manager of this baseball team.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, Torrey did not have a good year managing last year. I thought he did a bad job as the manager. I don't think he did a good job. The year before, he was terrific. So now this is his third year. And, you know, I mean, there is, you know, the honeymoon's over. If he makes a lot of bad moves and blows out the bullpen again and just the struggles that they have, I mean, you know, people might start, you know, getting a little antsy.
Yeah, I tend to think Torrey's probably going to be judged differently this year, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, I think he should be based on the fact that they're trying to rebuild and everything. But, you know, it just depends on how bad they are. I mean, if it's, you know, we're still hoping and they're still hoping that they could put together a decent team and not go through a complete rebuilding. They're going to try to, you know, be a team that's competitive. But, you know, it's hard when you lose Paul Goldschmidt, you lose A.J. Pollock, you lose Patrick Corbin, and they could lose Zach Greinke. They've already lost Jeff Mathis. And, you know, who have they brought in? They brought in Luke Weaver and then the kid from that pitched at ASU. So let's see what the rest of the offseason has in store for them. I mean, are they going to be super aggressive in going out there and finding some players? Because last year, to replace J.D. Martinez, they brought in Steven Souser and Jared Dyson. That didn't work.
Right.
I mean, that didn't work at all. I mean, they've got to find more guys like a Clay Buchholz than they do a Steven Souser and a Jared Dyson.
I mean, if the partnership between Mike and Torrey is what everybody says it is, I got to imagine that Torrey's going to have a lot of leeway? A lot of wiggle room this year.
I think so, too.
Lot of wiggle room. I mean, even beyond the wins and losses, knowing what the roster has looked like his first 2 years and what it's probably going to look like next year, I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot of judging of Torrey Lovello next year in 2019. 2020, maybe all bets are off, but yeah. In 2019, I think he's got a lot of freedom.
He's got a little bit of a mulligan on this next season?
A little bit. Mike Hazen also said last night, and I'm reading from the Twitter account of Jack Magruder, that the Diamondbacks closer, according to Hazen, and this is what he said last night, is on the roster, but they still will be looking at bullpen arms on the market because you can't have too many bullpen arms. Moments ago, Torrey Lovello, and remember this from our show, the Burns and Gambo
Absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, of course.
What he told us as soon as the season was over, who he thought his next closer should be.
If you're trapping me and putting me in a corner and getting ready to throw that left-right combo on me and I got to make a decision, then I'm entitled to change my mind. Yep. I feel like Archie Bradley should be our closer for next year. I like the presence. I think the closer needs to have a presence because sometimes that'll just get you through a situation or two, and Archie has that.
That was 2 months ago when he told us that. Today on December 11th, Torey Lovello went at spring with Archie Bradley as his closer. He just said it a moment ago. He went at spring training right now with Archie Bradley as his closer.
It's time. Yeah, I mean, Archie did not have a good year last year, but he has. You've got him and Hirano. Boxberg is gone. They're not bringing him back. They'll look for a bullpen guy that could come in and, you know, be a seventh-inning guy. And they've got some other good bullpen guys that they like, too. So, but I think as far as closer, it's time. It's time to see what Archie could do as a closer. I've had some people ask me, could they, you know, they've lost Corbin and Shelby Miller's not coming. They make him a starter. No, they've added two starters already. They've already added two starters. So, you know, they're not going to trade Robbie Ray. And they've got Zach Godley. They could even bring back Clay Buchholz if they believe that he's going to be healthy for the start of the season or close to the start of the season. They could bring back Clay Buchholz. So I don't see them. We don't know what's going to happen with Zach Greinke either. But I don't see them moving Archie to a starting role. We've talked about it. We pushed Torey and pushed him to give us an answer. And he said Archie Bradley a couple months ago, and here we are now. He's saying it's still Archie Bradley. It makes sense for it to be Archie Bradley. It does.
I just
don't know how many save opportunities there are going to be compared to previous Diamondback teams over
right.
the last couple
and
of years.
And that might take some of the pressure off a little bit, given how different of a team that it could be.
May not pitch as much. I mean, so the innings might not be as high, which is probably a good thing in his first year as a closer.
Something Kaysen talked a lot about yesterday. He said, look, I understand. We trade Paul Goldschmidt. I'm going to get calls from everybody around baseball because they're just going to assume that we're going to trade everybody, right?
Right.
I would think the same way. There are some people around baseball, and we've had this conversation many times, that you're being really good or being really bad. If you're in the middle, you're kind of stuck in no man's land, right?
It's the worst part to be.
It's funny because Hazen kind of commented on that, posed with kind of the idea of, hey, the middle's not really a great place to be. He said, quote, having a competitive team is important for me. People can have a different opinion. I get it, close quote. In other words, just to say, I understand there are some people who think we should, because we traded Goldie, that we should now tear this thing down to its studs, right? That we should trade Ray, trade Peralta, trade Ahmed, trade everybody because we're starting over. I don't want to do that. Being competitive, even if it's the myth of being competitive, is still important to Mike Hazen. And it's probably important to Ken and Derek, too, when it's all said and done.
You know, one of the things we're really learning with the Coyotes over the years and the Suns especially is just how much damage the culture of losing does to an organization.
Amen,
to
brother.
A fan base.
Yep.
To a community. I mean, we are learning firsthand how bad it is when you have a culture of losing that some of our sports teams like the Suns and the Coyotes have. I mean, we're going 1 year with the Cardinals and, well, hell is breaking loose. But the Suns and the Coyotes, neither one of them made the playoffs for a long, long time. And they lose a lot of games. So it's difficult. It's hard. I mean, it is. It's hard. You want to win. You want to have a chance to go to the playoffs. You want to feel like your team. And I think that's what Hazen's trying to say. I'm not going to get there. I won't allow that to happen. We may not make the playoffs, but we're going to be competitive, which means we're not going to be out of it in June. We're not going to be out of this in June. We may be out of it in August 1st, but we're not going to be out of it 80 games into the season because we're 14 games behind. That's what he's trying to avoid because he knows how bad. And this town, listen, this town's tough because people don't go to games when you're really bad.
No.
So that's what you got. A lot of damage gets done when you go years and years and years without winning.
They played with effort. They played with passion. They were entertaining. All right. Phoenix Suns, go do it again. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.